What's up? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, live from Fort Lauderdale. First of many shows this week. Joining me now, I'm Will Brinson, by the way, which I should point out. As I adjust this mic stand, this feels like a Dave Richard mic stand. Not joining me now is Dave Richard. It's Heath Cummings. What's up, buddy?
Super awkward just being here with you. I have no idea why, but we're always looking at each other through a computer.
But I never
realized
that's
perfectly
that, like,
fine.
Like when you're sitting in here, I'm like up on this little screen that people can't see because we're talking about it. But yes, right. It is weird to do it in person.
Yes.
Although the it is nice to have the inflection, like you don't have to wait and pause to see if somebody is going to stop. Like I just did Bill Ryder's show and there's a delay there and it drives me nuts because on CBS Sports HQ, you're sitting there and you're like, wait, did I say, like, if you try to close with a joke, it like, there's that dead period and then a laugh and you're like, oh my God, the joke flopped. I'm a disaster. What's not going to flop, Heath, this Thursday coming up on CBS Sports HQ, the fantasy football telethon, second annual fantasy football telethon for six continuous hours on Thursday. Oh boy. Starting at noon, our Fantasy Football Today crew and a plethora of guests will be answering your phone calls and dropping tons of fantasy knowledge to get you ready for your drafts. It's all hands on deck. I'll be here because it's here. It's happening here. We'll have our entire Pick Six crew here. I think they flew every single NFL writer down here. We're going to have Danny Cannell, Brian McFadden, former NFL players like Roddy White, Eddie Lacy, and Dwayne Bowe, all fantasy stars. We'll have our friends from the industry like the Fantasy Footballers join the fun as well. It's a great time. It's for a great cause. St. Jude Fantasy Football Telethon Fun begins at noon Eastern on Thursday on CBSSports.com. So go check out the CBS Sports app, your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, or Apple TV, or just stream it through the website. 6 hours, noon to six. Are you excited?
Oh, I could not be more excited. I'm a little bit like, there's a little caution there because I know that I tweet a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I've written about almost all of these guys as fantasy football players. And I do wonder, like, do I need to go back and just, like, do a quick Twitter search?
Well, so it's been pointed out to me on this podcast that, like, because I've worked with Mike Glennon calling the NC State spring game. And so I was like, you used to tweet that Mike Glennon looks like a giraffe with like runs like a giraffe with like an assault rifle. And I was like, all right, that's not great. And then like, I also wonder, like, have I ever said anything about Brady Quinn?
Yeah.
I definitely have.
Probably.
Because like, I was writing for Fan House and like in the early stages of CBS. Like, I'm sure I wrote like a Brady Quinn signs with.
Oh, I was a Chiefs fan back then. So, yeah.
Well, you said some things in your house about Brady that like you wouldn't want him
sorry,
to hear.
Brady.
Yeah. I know. I don't feel bad. Brady be fine. All right, we're going to talk about some news as it relates. This is a Tuesday show. It is Monday, August 19th as we're recording this. Where do you stand on the Antonio Brown stuff? Because we played on yesterday. This is Tuesday show, as I said. On yesterday's show, we played the audio of Mike Mayock calling out Antonio Brown, saying he needs to be all in or all out. Drew Rosenhaus said on television on Miami WSVN on Sunday, we worked very closely with the Raiders and we will continue to work very closely with the Raiders. I'm not sure that we agree that we've exhausted all the options, as Mike Mayock said, but there's no doubt it's still an ongoing process. We're trying to work with the team, the league, and the union to try and come up with a solution. We haven't figured it out yet. To say that AB is upset about the decision to not let him wear his helmet is accurate, but we are still processing it and figuring it out. I wouldn't make too much about him not being there today, as much as we are still trying to come up with a solution that works for everyone. AB apparently back at practice on Monday. Where is your head at in terms of Antonio Brown? I mean, from a real-life perspective, I think it's pretty obvious that this could go any which way. From a fantasy perspective, it's really difficult because you're trying to get value in fantasy drafts and we don't know what he's going to return.
Yeah, this is a good lesson and it's all about perspective or if everything's relevant. Because I was coming up with my final busts list for 2019. Mm. Antonio Brown still has a second round ADP. Easy choice for me. I put him on my bust list at the beginning of the summer when he had a second round ADP before any of this nonsense. So perfectly fine with that call. But then today I'm on CBS Sports HQ on Fantasy Football Today with Jamie and with Dave and we're talking about where we have him ranked. Turns out I'm the high guy amongst us three on Antonio Brown, saying that you should take him at the start of the fourth round.
Whoa.
They were scared to death. So I find it really hard to believe that he's not going to be there week one. $30 million is a lot of money. This does scare me though, just because before, the reason I had him as a bust is I was worried about Derek Carr. I was worried about him learning a new offense. I was worried about a little bit of an efficiency drop off last year with Big Ben. And I was worried about his attitude. The attitude part is like,
I mean, all
seems
fair concerns.
Far
I mean,
more likely now that week 9, They are off to a 2-6 start. He throws a fit on the sideline and doesn't play for 2 weeks.
I feel like you might be giving the Raiders too much credit. Like week three,
yeah,
they're off to an 0-2 start, and Derek Carr short hops another screen pass on third down and like in 7 to Antonio Brown. He rips off his helmet and throws it down and gets ejected or something. I mean, it just feels like there's you are literally playing with fire. I mean, like it's Heath. The situation is so volatile that any direction that this goes wouldn't surprise me at all. I did a draft over this past weekend that it's non-PPR, 12-team league, drafted all in person. Antonio Brown went with the second pick of the third round. That's too soon. It's too soon. It went ahead of T.Y. Hilton, Zach Ertz. I took George Kittle in the middle of the third round, which I'm fine with. Aaron Jones, Robert Woods, Melvin Gordon also went in the third round. Marlon Mack, Damian Williams, Josh Jacobs, Devonta Freeman. You're talking about like consistent fantasy performers who are going to be there week one. I wouldn't take him until after – I don't think I would take him until after the Brandon Cooks, Kenny Galladay run was there.
That seems fair. Galladay's a tough one because we don't know if the Lions really want to throw the football.
True.
And we've seen them really emphasize shorter passes, and their defense could be okay. So I think I love Galladay's upside, but if you're shooting for upside, I mean, Antonio Brown's – yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, but I'm still talking about, like, you're talking about, like, late fourth round, early fifth round.
Right.
Where you want to target Antonio Brown. Early third?
I'm fine mid fourth.
Okay.
No problem with that at all.
Okay. Zeke Elliott. I mean, it's so weird because, like, I don't remember a season like this, Heath, in terms of where this many big name guys. I mean, Todd Gurley with his knee, Melvin Gordon with his holdout, Zeke Elliott with his holdout, Antonio Brown. You're talking about last year, that's four of the top six picks.
Right.
In fantasy. I mean, that's insane. And four of the top six are now like the most volatile guys on the planet. Jerry Jones, we played this clip on Monday's show as well, who's Zeke who? When asked by Clarence Hill of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram about Tony Pollard's production. And according to Adam Schefter according to Chris Mortensen of ESPN, it was not received well by Zeke or his agent, Rocky Arsenault. Arsenault told Mortensen, "I didn't think it was funny, and neither did Zeke. We actually thought it was disrespectful." He is in Cabo San Lucas at a, quote, great facility, training during his contract holdout. Where are you at with Zeke Elliott? Because, again, I did a non-PPR draft. I was at the fifth pick, and I'd made up my mind going in, I'm either taking Zeke Elliott or DeAndre Hopkins, just whoever's there. And I went Hopkins because Zeke went fourth, and I was a little surprised.
Yeah, I'm taking Elliott fourth still. In PPR, I could absolutely see taking Hopkins first. I saw Jerry do that, and I thought
he was clearly kidding.
Well, he was clearly kidding, but also he's feeling it right now.
Yeah,
because Ezekiel Elliott does not have any type of leverage at all.
None.
Jerry is holding all of the cards, and he's flaunting it just a little bit. And maybe that means that Ezekiel Elliott sits out for a game. I don't know. Maybe he gets too mad over this and. But there's no leverage. He's not sitting out all year. They're going to pay him at some point. He's going to take what they want to give him. I wish they'd get it over with, but for the most part, I think it's going to be fine.
The only leverage he has is that he doesn't need to play this year to accrue a season. That's the only concern
I have. But he's not a free agent next year.
No. But right. Unless they decided to not pick,
So he could not play, not get paid anything at all, and then have to play for the Cowboys again next year.
That is correct. But if he comes back before week 10, he would likely, his contract wouldn't toll, and so he would be on the fifth-year option next year. So that would be the one benefit. You sit out some games this year, you miss some games, and you get your bigger money next year. The downside for Zeke Elliott, too, is that the Cowboys get the Giants in week one, the Redskins in week two, and the Dolphins in week three. So what are you going to do? Skip those games? Your team's 3-0, and any, like concept of your leverage disappears?
Yeah, he has none.
Yeah. So you still take Zeke top five, no worries.
I'm still taking him top five.
Is it even possible this is helping his value because he's not dinged up in training camp or dinged up in?
I don't think they were going to have him do very much in training camp anyway. So he's fine. Just show up, practice a couple times, go out and rush for 150 yards.
Mike Evans missed practice on Monday. Evans was, according to Eduardo Encina of the Tampa Bay Times, Evans left Sunday's practice early, holding his quad after snagging a deep pass. That is no bueno. What is also out of practice, by the way, Ronald Jones, who's starting for a football team that I'm running, which is not great. What are your thoughts on Mike Evans and that injury?
not concerned yet. Most of these muscle injuries were still far enough away from the start of the season. I give guys a week. If you miss a week of practice, like Damian Williams missed a week with his hamstring and I started getting a little worried. He came back. He's practiced for a week. I think he's fine. Evans misses a week. I'll start getting worried. For now, I don't think it's anything big.
Okay. Emmanuel Sanders is going to play, or actually played, excuse me, last night.
Yeah.
So I hate to ask you about this because who knows what he's going to do.
I was shocked that he was out there and the things that he did. did not expect him to look like that at all.
I mean, like, you didn't expect him to be out there last night.
No.
In general.
No.
This is a crazy recovery.
We need more information on how he's been able to recover so much more quickly than virtually anyone else.
In the history of sports.
Yes.
From an Achilles injury.
Right.
Like, you don't rupture your Achilles now we're on video for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You don't rupture your Achilles on December 5th, and then on August 25th, waltz back onto the field and be fine.
Deontay Foreman may never be the same running back again.
For sure.
After an Achilles tear. Like, that has generally been what we've seen, is you just don't really come back, or if you do, it takes a long time, and Sanders has come back immediately. We need to start treating him like the number one for the Broncos again.
Okay, so you think he's a guy to draft then?
Yeah.
Or like, because he's a cheap price.
I mean, right. Oh,
right,
yeah.
Right. Cam Newton back, going to play this week against the Patriots. Ron Rivera did not exactly say how much action he will get. Does any of Cam Newton's recovery time concern you with his value in fantasy?
Haven't we heard before, like a week before every game, that he might play?
Yes.
And he hasn't played yet?
And then they're like, we're just going on the timetable we have. It's like, well, why aren't you giving us the timetable the whole time?
Right. What would be the fun to that?
Like, why don't you give us the timetable, Ron? Tell us when he's going to play and then let him play.
Right. If he doesn't play this week, I might start to get a little bit concerned, but he's a top five quarterback for me in all formats.
Okay. How early would you draft, if I list some quarterbacks, how early would you draft him? Patrick Mahomes.
In a one quarterback leagues, what we're going to go with.
One quarterback, four-point passing.
Third round for Mahomes.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers.
Late fifth, early sixth.
Okay. Matt Ryan.
I'm not going to be.
Not at that price.
Yeah. I'm not in on Matt Ryan this year.
I'm not either. Yeah.
Dude, I like cheap Matt Ryan.
This is our theory. It's the every other year with Matt Ryan. That's the move. And he was not cheap. He was cheap last year. Now he's expensive.
Right.
Because he's going before Cam Newton.
I think he's going before Cam, before Wentz, before Baker Mayfield even.
Would you rather have all those guys above Matt Ryan or just
all of them?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Even relative to price?
I had them all projected for more fantasy points this year.
Wow. Okay. All right. Josh Gordon, we mentioned this yesterday as well, back with the Patriots, but from a fantasy perspective, I'm curious what you would do with Josh Gordon and how early you would take him.
Well, I'm very, very happy about this news because I've taken him in several drafts in the double-digit rounds, and so it's going to pay off for those people.
He went the sixth round of my draft this past
year. That is exactly what I was going to say.
Okay.
The fifth or sixth round. I think in non-PPR, he is more valuable. You look at what he did last year with Brady, and it was basically a borderline top 30 wide receiver.
Yep.
The three games without Gronk, he was on pace for 140 targets and about 1,600 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to do that. He probably won't play 16 games if history is any indicator. But he's a starting wide receiver for as long as he plays.
Okay. If you had to guess, based on assuming that my friends are also NC State fans,
mm-hmm.
where do you think Jacoby Myers got drafted this past weekend?
12 teams?
12 teams. The answer will surprise you.
Eighth round.
Seventh round.
So I was close.
I can't believe you said eight.
Never doubt homers.
Somebody took Jacoby Myers in the ahead of Mike Williams, Miles Sanders, Will Fuller, Alshon Jeffrey, Darius Geis, Jarvis Landry, Tariq Cohen, Matt Ryan. So good for you, leaguer. Curtis Samuel, eighth round, by the way. That's about right. That might be late. That's late.
We were talking about this today. Has there
I
ever
might be out. I might
been,
be out. It's too expensive.
Is there? Well, he goes much sooner than the eighth round in our drafts.
Yeah, he would. Yeah.
Going the fifth or sixth. Has there ever been a player that you can remember with this much preseason hype and a total of one catch for 13 yards in preseason games?
That's all he has?
He's got one ball in preseason games.
Yeah, I mean, it's all based on training camp.
It's all based on tweets.
Yeah.
Like, and some video highlights.
Like, with the Panthers.com article was like, it's a summer of Samuel. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it was like, I mean, they're playing it up too. I just have a hard time believing that he can be a thousand. I mean, I guess he can be a 1,000-yard guy, but I mean, how many catches can he have? I mean, like, DJ Moore, McCaffrey, Greg Olson, Curtis Samuel. I mean, like, it's going to be difficult for multiple guys to be 1,000-yard guys.
I think it comes down to, and you have to almost draw a line in the sand and say, I'm a DJ Moore guy. Ooh. Or a Curtis Samuel guy. And it's going to be bad news for both of them if they both are good this year.
Like, because they could both be, have like 75 catches and 750 yards.
Not good enough. Yeah.
No, that's not good for fantasy, but it's great
for me. When I look at DJ Moore as a 21-year-old, there have been three wide receivers ever with 80 targets and averaging better than 9 yards per target in their age 21-year-old season.
And that's who?
DJ Moore,
mm-hmm.
Randy Moss, Keenan Allen.
Mm.
Juju just missed it. He was one target shy.
People are sort of sleeping on DJ Moore.
People, if you do what he did as a 21-year-old, you're probably very good.
And he went in the sixth round of this league that I'm referencing, just because it was the most recent one. I mean, not to keep referencing it. But yeah, I mean, like he, yeah, I mean, DJ Moore, sixth round, and then, Curtis Samuel, eighth round. Did I miss? Oh, Colt McCoy. Oh, DK Metcalf having knee surgery. He's not really on your radar, right?
He's not for me. I do think it just kind of highlights something that we're probably sleeping on a little bit. And that's that, like, it's easy to look at Tyler Lockett's numbers from last year and say, mm-hmm. okay, he's going to regress. And obviously he is. He had one of the most efficient seasons in his career.
Russell Wilson's not going to have a perfect passer rating to Tyler Lockett again.
But he only saw 70 targets last year. And historically, the number one wide receiver for Russell Wilson sees about a fourth of his team's targets.
Mm.
If Wilson throws 450 passes, Lockett might see 50% more targets and is probably going to be a top 12 receiver again in non-PPR. Wow.
So even though this team's going to run the hell out of the ball, it doesn't mean that Lockett can't.
Who else are they going to throw to?
Yeah. I got no idea. David Moore?
Jerron Brown's really having a good camp.
He is having a good camp.
Yeah.
So draft Jerron Brown if you want. By all means, dive into him. Did week two change your thoughts on Kyler Murray at all?
No, but it brought everybody else.
You weren't drafting
Kyler
Murray.
It brought everyone back closer to me.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
It made me a little bit more scared of David Johnson.
Oh, good. Okay, great question.
They cannot block anyone.
They can't block anybody.
Like the Raiders, and there are people talking, you know, the Raiders blitzed a lot. They weren't ready for the blitz. It's the Raiders blitzing.
It's the Raiders preseason.
They have almost no defensive talent at all.
And Kyler's like not going to be on the same page with these guys in the offensive line. I think I would, if I'm at like six or seven in drafts, I'm not taking David Johnson.
He will be on my final bust list.
Like I would rather go with, Devontae Adams.
All the receivers.
Julio Jones.
I'd rather have James Conner.
I'd rather have Nick Chubb, Dalvin Cook, and
I'd rather have Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah. Right. So David, I'm just kind of out of, it's weird though, cause he had like a decent year last year.
But in a way that is only because he played 16 games.
Right. So if he plays 10 games.
Well, but if you play 16 games and finish as the number 10 running back, you were not worthy of a first round pick.
No.
not even close.
You're a fourth round pick. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm pretty much out.
Okay. Fully out on David Johnson.
I'm out.
Did you see yourself getting here at any point?
Yeah, I was a little lower on him before. I've been scared of this line. And the thing that's bad for him, like for Kyler, I think it's there's one positive. The only thing that's as bad as their offensive line is their defense. Their defense has been
gashed. See, that's
the
thing. It's like they're going to have to have volume.
So they, here's the issue. They should have a lot of pass volume because they're going to be down three scores at halftime of every game.
But if their defense is bad, do teams get a lead on them and just run the ball until?
Exactly. Like they've talked about running 1,200 plays or whatever, 1,100 plays. They were one of the slowest teams in the league last year and they're going to play faster. But if you're getting sacked and giving up a ton of yards. I think they ran 880.
Okay, they can do 1,100. That's 68 plays per.
It's possible, but you have to be good.
But like Chip Kelly's Eagles did that in his best year, and they made the playoffs.
Bad teams can't run that.
The other thing that people don't look at, if you go back and look at Chip Kelly's biggest in terms of when he had the most plays run for the Eagles, they were top five running the ball. They like were top five in rushing attempts. And so Kyler Murray and the Cardinals are not going to be top five or even top 15 in rushing attempts with that offense. And I'm guilty of this too. We cite Cliff Kingsbury's Texas Tech numbers. Well, you know what where Texas Tech played? In the Big 12. Where if you're playing another team, A, they also have a bad defense, and B, they don't stop throwing the ball ever. So like, there's no correlation. Like the Rams aren't going to, you know, be like, well, we're up 28-9. Let's just, you know, just keep chunking the ball with Jared Goff. No, they're going to bury up and they're going to take Todd Gurley out and run it with Daryl Henderson.
And if you look at that, there were six teams last year that ran at least 1,050 plays. Baltimore, great defense, good offensive line. New England, Colts.
Won a bunch of games.
Rams, Steelers. The one you could put maybe in the Arizona
the ball.
Is Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is the one kind of weird one, but they were also the best passed offense in the NFL last year.
Yeah, they were like, yeah. Yeah. So if the Cardinals are the best pass offense in the NFL, great. But also that the Tampa had no running game.
Right.
So, I mean, all right, I might be out on David Johnson too, completely. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and, go by the numbers with Heath on some touches and targets.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
All right. So when you're looking at touches and targets, Heath, and you can follow Heath on Twitter at Heath Cummings SR, which I think took me forever to realize that it was Heath Cummings Sr.
Yeah, I'm a dad.
Yeah, I'm a dad too. I'm a senior.
And are you
legally a senior? Have we been over this?
Yeah, I'm legally a senior. Junior actually turned 18 on Saturday.
Wow, congratulations.
So he went straight to South Beach and got a tattoo.
No, he did not. Really?
Yeah. He did.
You seem cool with like whatever your kids do. I mean, like by and large, like
he's wanted a tattoo for a while.
You
I
just
told
seem
him,
like you're not going to get worked up about a tattoo.
I can't do anything about it now. Yeah. He's 18.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah, what are you going to do? Yeah, yeah. What did he get? What tattoo did he get?
It's like a beach triangle. I don't know. It's whatever.
Or it's like a little
it could be like an island maybe. I don't know. It's got a tree and a beach and
was he excited? Water. Was he happy with the
He was
the
he's very happy with it.
The happiest you ever seen him?
Yeah. Probably not quite, but okay. Yeah, very happy. Right. I didn't actually see him that night because they just got a hotel and stayed in South Beach.
Oh, okay.
For his 18th birthday.
Sure, cool. Yeah. Fun times. Sure he just got a tattoo and went to bed.
Yep.
That's what I did when I was 18. I never liked needles, so I didn't want a tattoo.
Like I have no interest.
Yeah, none. I don't begrudge anybody who has one. Good for him. That's cool. So we talk about numbers and touches and targets. It's important for people to understand when they're drafting for fantasy purposes that volume rules all, right?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things that I look at, and this is on the website if you search for it, it's the opportunity index. It's teams that have the most touches available from last year. So you talk about like the Oakland Raiders. They have 361 targets unaccounted for from last year. So even when, that's one of the reasons I love Tyrell Williams. Because even if you say, oh, Antonio Brown's going to go get 160 targets, they still have 200 targets.
Yeah, and like Antonio Brown can't have 300 targets.
No.
It just doesn't work like that.
There is no way that's going to happen. Right. So you look at like the top five teams in terms of targets from last year. Baltimore has a ton.
So you mean top five in terms of teams who now have vacated targets?
Exactly. The tricky thing with Baltimore is we don't know how much they're going to throw the ball compared to last year. Jacksonville, 257.
Okay.
And the thing
also
I like to do, like with Oakland, it's easy. They added Antonio Brown. They added Tyrell Williams. They added Josh Jacobs. They've got – who did Jacksonville add to take those targets?
Nobody.
Right, which nobody. Is one of the reasons I love D.D. Westbrook.
Mm. And you know my Madden sim that I did for the site? I don't know if you saw this or not.
Huh.
D.D. Westbrook led the NFL in receiving yards.
Well, that's probably because they knew how many targets.
Maybe so. I don't know. It's insane. I just didn't see it coming.
One team we talk about a lot, Tampa Bay. Uh-huh. 234 targets available.
Because of
Adam Humphries? Because of DeSean Jackson? Yes.
Wow.
234 targets. Who did they add?
Nobody.
Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, O.J. Howard. It looks like it's going to be consolidated.
Are you in on Chris Godwin as a 1A or 1B, I mean?
I can't quite, I'm a lot more in on Evans and Howard than I am Godwin.
Okay.
Because it seems like Godwin's turned into a fourth round pick. And like, if I'm talking about Antonio Brown or Chris Godwin, I can't find enough targets for Godwin, even with that number.
Evans is a guy like, I had the fifth overall pick. I was like, man, if I can get Evans on the rat. This
oh, for
money.
Sure.
But Michael Thomas actually fell to me. So I'm even better. I'm fine with that. But like Evans went late in the second round. I think if I'm sitting on the back end of the first round, I'm thinking, you know, you hope that like Thomas or even Nick Chubb, I would be fine with Nick Chubb there too. But like Evans and Keenan Allen are the two guys to me in terms of guys that will soak up targets that you want to try and, approach. Cause if you go top four pick, you're getting a running back probably.
Right.
And so that's the combo I'm looking for in the back end is a Mike Evans and Keenan Allen. Cause for whatever reason, Mike Evans remains underrated.
Oh, for sure. And when you look at it, he's had 1 year where he was really elite. And that was the one time they threw the ball to him more than 150 times. Now they've got 200 targets available and didn't add anyone.
And they have a coach who's going right. to put the ball up and they have no running game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think we'll see a lot of targets for him. Teams that did not have that opportunity. Obviously the Rams, they got everybody back. They only had 9 targets unaccounted for from last year. The Bengals, 14. One though that we've talked a lot about, Arizona, just 37 targets available. And they've added like 17
wide
receivers.
Did you base that on last year's numbers or?
Right. So they're going to throw the ball more.
Right.
But if they throw it 50 more times, they have 87 targets available.
Yeah. Still not that much, right?
Right. Cause they still have Larry Fitzgerald. They still have
Christian
Kirk.
So all these young guys, Akeem Butler, Andy Isabella.
They have to take them from somebody. They're not there to be given to them.
Are you just out on everybody on that team?
Larry's still a good value. I'll never be out on Larry.
Maybe. Last year was
right. You know, we had Pete Prisco on HQ, and he said that everybody there in Arizona was saying it's just not even close. Larry Fitzgerald is still the best receiver on this team.
Really? Yeah. And that he might actually have a good year?
Yeah.
Interesting. And he is dirt cheap.
Oh, almost free.
Yeah. I mean, he went the 10th round this past weekend. That's insane. Somebody took Kyler Murray and Larry Fitzgerald. Kyler Murray, 9th round. That's actually kind
of
late.
Another one, San Francisco added a bunch of rookie wide receivers.
Mm.
Really only had 63 targets.
Who do you think got hurt? Dante Pettis, Marquise Goodwin?
Well, every day we get a new report out of San Francisco saying someone's doing bad and might get cut.
Or somebody's awesome and
is clearly the number one. And so I don't think we know anything.
Mm. Kittle's the only guy.
Throw the ball to George Kittle over and over. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, he's going to get a touchdown.
I love Tevin Coleman.
Yeah. Coleman's a good value too. I think Kittle's going to have another monster year.
He should. Unless they just spread the ball around more.
Does it scare you at all taking Ertz and Kittle in the second or third round?
Third, no. Second, yes.
Okay.
I think Kelsey's probably the only tight end should go in the second.
Would you take George Kittle or Marlon Mack in the third round?
Kittle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you take George Kittle or Damian Williams?
Yeah, I'm still going to go with Kittle.
Okay. George Kittle or Josh Jacobs?
I'm kind of a little bit out on Jacobs at his price.
Really?
Yeah. He's a fine fourth round pick, but I don't.
Late third is not what
again. It's the same thing we say with Antonio Brown. The offense is probably not like maybe they'll be good. I don't think they are though. I think they're bad. They're right. going to be behind.
How are they going to run the ball?
Right. And their offensive line.
Who are they going to run the ball against?
Their offensive line. I had questions about the way they put it together in the offseason as it was. Like they're counting on a lot of guys that probably should not be counted on, and that's shown itself already.
This is from Warren Sharp's football preview.
Yeah.
It's just like there's a little blurb, like a stat on each team. And it's just Tom Cable is an offensive line coach. His lines ranks in pass protection his NFL career, 31-27, 30, 31, 26, 24, 20, 32, 24, 30, 25, 25, 25.
Those are big numbers.
How is that possible? How does he keep getting jobs? If you and I were that bad at our jobs,
right.
we'd be fired. Right?
Maybe. I would think so, yeah.
I mean, I would hope so. Well, yeah. I mean, actually, no.
I hope not.
Yeah, I don't, yeah. I mean, I hope I can be that bad at my job and keep getting away with it. Yeah, and there's a handy graph sheet that you got in here with the index when you look at it. So where are some undervalued, you mentioned Jacksonville, where are some other undervalued sort of target opportunities?
I think, another one we talked about, New England. They've got 233 targets. Now that's just changed because Josh Gordon is back.
Yeah.
But I think it's good to recognize.
Now when you look at that, do you take out the running back targets, the running back passes?
Okay. And I've kind of broken it down in the chart. You can see if you're just looking for like the Patriots only, but then the other thing, they threw the ball to their running backs
a ton.
33% of the time.
It's crazy.
No team was anywhere close to that. Only 14.6% of their targets went to tight ends, even with Gronk on the team last year.
Wow.
the second or third lowest mark in the league. So people say, who's going to replace Gronk? No, they're not.
So
they don't need to replace Gronk.
Interesting.
He wasn't that big a part of the offense.
So do you think that whoever physically replaces Gronk, excuse me, whether it's, Ben Watson or when he comes back from suspension or Matt LaCoste, whoever it is.
I think I would not draft them.
But they're not going to have Gronk numbers. They might have 2018 Gronk numbers at best combined.
No, I don't think they're going to.
Okay. So just stay away.
Yeah.
Do you think Sony Michel and Damian Harris can have?
I'm always so scared. I've missed out on some really great, Patriots running backs, and I have missed out on a lot of heartache by mostly just saying
stay away.
I'm generally in favor of drafting the cheaper guys. So Harris
to me is a great value.
Right.
Nobody wants him.
I didn't like how much he played in preseason week two. They're just not playing anybody and Damian Harris gets 15 carries.
Yeah, I guess it's a red flag, right?
That worries me a little bit, but I fully expect he's going to have a 3-week stretch where he's the best running back in football.
It'll probably be at the end of the season. after everybody drafted and dropped him. Where are some other stay away options for you when you're looking at the target positions? Cleveland, is that right? Cleveland doesn't have that many targets.
Who left?
Nobody.
Now this number has changed just a little bit. I believe it's up to 89 now. This article was written about a month ago before Duke Johnson left.
Oh, because he had 71.
But it highlights they're bringing in Odell Beckham, who is used to 10 targets per game.
Yeah.
I think it's more likely that everybody else loses than Odell Beckham. I also don't think it's very likely in a Kitchens offense with Baker Mayfield, at least what we saw last year, which was limited, that anyone's getting 10 targets per game. Jarvis Landry led the team last year at 6.6 after Kitchens took over.
Do you think, do you think Jarvis Landry is not undrafted? I wouldn't, in other words, you wouldn't touch Jarvis Landry in a non-PPR league.
I'm not drafting Landry or Njoku.
Okay.
Either one. And I've not been able to get Beckham because
I'm not taking him in the first round.
People seem, and rightly, I understand. If you take Odell Beckham and you give him 16 games and you give him his New York target share and you give him Baker Mayfield, he's probably the best wide receiver in football.
Didn't you tweet about this about Odell Beckham's health?
He has missed more games than Sammy Watkins since they came into the league. Yeah.
Not great.
And that is not enough. A guy you want to be compared to in that way.
Yeah, no.
He's missed more games than AJ Green, who seems extremely injury prone.
He's been
Wow.
So you kind of usually out on Odell.
I would not be out of him. I would take him in the second round, but I think he's, for me at least, he's closer to Mike Evans than he is to Juju or Michael Thomas or DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, we sort of talked about this. Would you take Odell Beckham or Dalvin Cook?
I'm probably going to take Dalvin Cook in that situation.
Okay, me too. Odell Beckham or Joe Mixon?
In PPR, I will take Beckham.
Okay. Odell Beckham or Nick Chubb?
Again, it's a non-PPR or PPR thing.
I'll
take Chubb. PPR, I'll take Beckham.
Okay, interesting. And obviously you would take, I assume, Mike Thomas, Tyreek Hill, Julio, Juju, Devontae.
Yep. All those guys Odell. Over Odell. Beckham, yep.
You would take Odell over Mike Evans?
Yes. Okay. Just they're back to back though in my rankings.
God, Sony Michel went at the bottom of the second round. That's a mistake.
That doesn't sound like a good idea.
No, there's some drunk people in this draft. All right. Anything else stand out to you from this chart? It's the Opportunity Index, by the way. You can Google that and check it out. It does look like the Raiders have lots of tight end opportunities.
Well,
there's nobody there to catch them.
Well, Darren Waller is what they're hoping for. Yeah. I think the most surprising part of the whole thing, and it's kind of actionable. There are two teams that have at least 300 running back touches, not touches, targets plus carries.
Okay.
From last year available. They are Jacksonville because Leonard Fournette missed so much time.
Sure.
TJ Yeldon got a bunch of work. It's one of the things I love about Fournette is Yeldon was a great pass catching back.
Yeah.
They didn't replace him.
But Fournette was actually okay catching the ball at LSU.
They're going to throw it to him this year.
You think so?
It's if he can stay healthy. But I think if Leonard Fournette stays healthy, he's going to be a top 10 back.
I've been beating that drum for a while. I think he's I want him in the second or third round. I think you have to go second round.
And then the team that's more obvious that's right there with him at 305
Kansas
touches
City?
Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah.
Because Kareem Hunt is now gone.
Right.
Are you buying the idea that Damien Williams is the number one there?
I definitely think he is right now.
Okay.
that was,
you'll pay the price.
That was meant to be, non-committal.
Oh, right now. Okay. Yes. Yes. I definitely think he is right now.
I'm scared of his, like, and it's kind of the same thing with Josh Jacobs. We've never seen him be a workhorse back.
Right.
He was a part-time back.
He in Alabama.
And there's a disagreement in the community on this over, man, that guy had 300 touches last year. I'm scared of him. Or, man, that guy had 300 touches last year. I know he can do it.
See, as long as it's 300 touches and not 300 carries, I'm
right,
fine with it.
Right.
But like, it's the O.J. Howard thing too. People are like, well, if you just extrapolate his numbers, it's
you
like,
can't
well,
do that.
But we've been saying that since Alabama.
Right.
And like Alabama didn't use him on a full-time base. Like they never gave him the numbers to let him do that. So why are we sure the Tampa Bay will do the same? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I don't know. That just worries me a lot. That's why I'm willing to invest in Kittle and Ertz.
Right.
Ertz I'm a little more nervous about because I think Goddard's going to cut into his target some, but maybe not that much. All right. Thursday night. I might be getting body slammed by a wrestler.
I hope so.
I do too. Have you heard of that app Cameo?
Yeah.
Right? It's like people.
Right.
So the guy DM'd me from Cameo was like, hey, do you want to sign up for this? I was like, I don't know why anybody on the bleeping planet would want me to record them a message, but sure, I'll sign up. You can put money in my pocket if I do messages. The first guy that sent me a message asked me to record a video where I tell you and Dave and Jamie and Ben and Adam that he should be in the podcast listener league.
That is a great idea.
Yeah, it's pretty smart. So I recorded the video. It's out there. I assume he'll tweet it to y'all at some point. I said I would bribe you with beer. I don't know what I said I'd do for Jamie. I said
that is a fantastic idea.
But I told Jamie that I will allow myself to be body slammed if you put this guy in the podcast.
What? Well, I don't know if you've been listening lately, but Jamie's put about 17 people in the league already, and there's only 12 spots.
You could do
and
two.
Adam gets mad. We're doing three now.
Three?
Yeah. Oh. Adam's not.
Are y'all in all of them?
No.
But
no.
Adam has to run them all.
Yes.
Let's do 10. Let's do 10. Make Adam run.
Yes.
All right, Heath Cummings, follow him on Twitter, watch him on Fantasy Football Today, and check us out on the Fantasy Football Today. What are we calling it? The telethon.
Yes.
Good night. I lost my mind. Thanks, Heath.